We're in the middle, in the beginning actually, beginning of Lent, and still at the very beginning, just Ash Wednesday a few days ago, and perhaps it's providential that we have this day with Mary in the beginning of Lent, the first Saturday after Ash Wednesday, and it is providential and it is important that Our Lady be a part of Lent. And she should be so much a part of Lent that we wouldn't really, probably not used to. But our, you know, Father Angela has mentioned this morning how during Lent we are preparing ourselves for Easter by meditating on the sufferings of Jesus and thinking about them through the eyes of Our Lady. And we can add to that that, you know, during Lent we're active as well. We're very active in our spiritual life, in our reform, our life of reform. And we want to do that with Our Lady to the point where she's very active in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our plans, in our program for Lent. We should all have a program for Lent. What am I going to do to prepare to change my life, to reform my life, to correct my bad habits, my bad actions, my sinfulness? We need a plan and a program. And that plan and program which we think about, reflect on, and think all the things we need to do and we need to correct and change, we take that program and we hand it to Our Lady and ask her to help us. And she's helping us to prepare the program as well. She's enlightening us on the areas where we need to grow and improve and reform and change. And so we're working with that with her, and then we're presenting it to her, and that's our program. And then she's our coach during Lent. You know, as I was thinking about her being a coach, I was thinking of the Olympics, you know, the figure skaters or the gymnasts, they always have a coach, and the coach actually takes a hold of them and turns them around, grabs their arms and legs, and shows them the motions that they need to make in order to do it right and to do it the best way, in the most graceful way. And I thought that was a good image of what Our Lady does, because she works in our soul, she works in our heart in an active, almost physical way. And in philosophy, they call it physical causality. Our Lady has a physical causality of grace in our soul, where she works in our soul. She changes us, she transforms us, she sanctifies us, makes us into Christ. She nurtures us and she brings us up like she did Jesus during his life. And they call it physical causality in the sense that she's directly working in our soul. And isn't that something kind of remarkable? How we think, how we don't know that, the world doesn't know that so much. And that's how important Our Lady is and what she does. That's the motherly role that she has. And we need to utilize it. We need to utilize it during this Lenten season to change ourselves for the better. And so we can think of it as Our Lady as our coach. You know, she's right beside us. And during the Olympics, there's a lot of intense preparation, a lot of intense exercises, a lot of intense practice. And that's the way Our Lady is with us during Lent and afterwards and all through our life. But especially during Lent, where it's intense, you know, an intense concentration on changing ourselves, making ourselves prepared for Easter, to prepare ourselves for our Lord, and to make ourselves more Christ-like. So we need to really think about Our Lady and that role that she has. And that's sort of works hand in hand with the message of Fatima, where Our Lady said, God wishes to save the world, save souls from hell, and bring peace about in the world through devotion to Our Lady. And what is devotion to Our Lady? It's loving Our Lady, but it's also a much more active thing like changing with Our Lady, her helping us to change and to reform our life. And we can think of that devotion especially as a consecration. We are consecrated to Our Lady, and consecration means entrusting everything to Our Lady, in putting everything under her governance. It's not only just what we are giving to her, but it's the control that we're giving her too. We're docile, we're at her disposition for her to change us. That's the mentality we need to have during Lent and really during our consecration throughout our life, that she is there operating and changing and directing and taking hold of us and changing us. So we need to have that general mentality, and then we need to make it specific and think of all the areas that where we need to give to Our Lady and ask her to help us to change. And we start off with our bad habits, you know, our occasions of sin, too much TV, too much computer, too much worldly entertainments, too much bad food, junk food, sweets, whatever. A lot of these things we can give up during Lent, and we have the grace to do that, the opportunity and that resolution that we can make. And that's the first thing, and it's really the easiest thing and the best preparation, because it frees us. It frees us up to do, to practice the virtue and to change our life. And so after that, those things where we push and take and cut out of our day, that's really an obstacle to our growth in holiness and virtue and sanctification, then we work on our virtues, and we think of all those virtues where we may lack, and think of the virtues that we need personally in our own heart, but then also the virtues that deal with our relationship with our brothers and sisters and charity. So we look at ourselves and how we need to improve our prayer life. We need to pray more, and we need to pray with greater concentration, with fewer distractions. We need to have a better prayer schedule. We need to, you know, be more faithful to the rosary, or maybe two rosaries a day or more. You know, our prayer life and making a schedule. We need to, if you have a schedule, then we have something to work with. If it's just, you know, I'll do it when I feel like it, or when it comes around, or when, you know, it just is convenient, and then our prayer life is really very poor, and that's not going to work. So we need a schedule that we need to work with, and we ask Our Lady to help us design it according to our state in life and the work and the family life or whatever we're doing. And, you know, those personal virtues of humility and love for God and love in our heart and overcoming our pride and self-centeredness and selfishness, and those personal things that we need to focus on. And then we look at our neighbor and the charity that we need to practice, the forgiveness, the not passing judgment, any resentments that we have that we need to get rid of, you know, being compassionate to our neighbor, giving kindness, goodness, giving to our neighbor, helping them, you know, a cheerfulness to our neighbor, a joy, that sense of giving and generosity that we need to have towards our neighbor. And it's, you know, how much we need to do, how much we can do, how much we can really improve in that area. And Our Lady's the expert in charity, and she was always quick and in haste to help her and to jump and think even before her neighbor could ask for help. She was always there. So those things we need to think about and practice with Our Lady's help. And perhaps another thing we can focus on, since we're starting Lent with the day with Mary, is our love for Mary. And I'm not sure if we really think so much about that. We might think it's love for Our Lady is like an after effect or a fruit of our rosary, which we need to pray in order to be able to have a prayer life. But it's something we need to really work at, and something that should be strong and very strong and even intense. As Franciscans of the Immaculate, in our community, we take a fourth vow, a vow of total consecration to Our Lady, which is really our first vow. We call it our Marian vow, which enlightens all the other three vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience. So it's first, and it colors all the other vows. And in order to live that vow, which is so many faceted and so deep and so profound, we need to understand what it is, understand what consecration really is. And St. Louis de Montfort enlightened us on that. St. Maximilian enlightened us even further on that. And the founder of our community, Father Stefano Manelli, has written a book on the Marian vow, which is very, very deep and profound and so helpful in helping us to know what real consecration is all about. And it's really, he says, it's the beginning of our understanding of this consecration and the Marian vow. But in the beginning of this treatise that he makes, he describes the love that we should have, and that this Marian vow is really a vow of love for Our Lady. And consecration is really living out our love for Our Lady. That's a way of paraphrasing it. And he describes it in a way that I've never heard explained as well as this. He says, "This is a vow that expresses the uttermost totality of love, engaging the human heart intensely in a vital personal love. And so it could quite correctly also be called the vow of unconditional love for the Immaculate, a love extended through her to God and to creatures, consummated in the salvation of all souls in Christ and in the Church, unto the supreme glory of the Most Holy Trinity." This vow of consecration to the Immaculate, if you're not taking the vow, you still can approximate it to your consecration to Our Lady, which you all do, I'm sure, expresses the uttermost totality of love, engaging the human heart intensely in a vital personal love. So we're talking about not just a mediocre love that's sort of a fruit of praying the rosary, but it's a love that we work at, that we exercise, and that we strive to make very strong and even intense. And we have to work on that, telling Our Lady we love her, thinking about her, thinking of all the sacrifices she made for us, how much she suffered for us, how much she watches over us and protects us and guides us and does everything she can for our salvation and for our happiness, preparing for us a happiness in heaven, which would be much greater than we could ever do on our own. She's preparing us and protecting us, and all this, and our reflection on that helps us to grow in love for our Lady. And you know, holy images like this beautiful statue of Our Lady helps us to love Our Lady. And the images we have at home, and we think of the nativity scene of Our Lady holding the Christ child, and how adorable the Christ child is, but also how adorable the mother of the Christ child is, and how lovable she is too. We're loving Our Lady and our Lord together. And so we need to, it's a good thing to do during this Lent, to exercise that love for Our Lady and make it grow, and so it's strong and very strong and intense, expressing that uttermost totality of love for her. And we do it through the many prayers that we say, the Angelus, the Rosary, the Mass that we attend, everything we are doing with Our Lady, the Stations of the Cross with her and through her, and all the things we can think about, turning to her with our spiritual communions to her and our Lord, and thinking about and turning to her throughout the day for all our needs. And I remember reading a quote from Blessed Contardo Farini, who was a layman and a university professor, I think, during the 1800s. And he said that what he did in his devotion to Our Lady, he would say, "Every day after my visit to Jesus, I will make a visit to Mary, whom I will often call to mind during the day. I will love holy purity, entrusting myself often to Mary. Before every conversation, I will commit myself to her care with a Hail Mary. I will do the same before meals. Every day I will say the Rosary, and at noon the Angelus, And every hour, when possible, I will pray a Hail Mary and make a spiritual communion. This is the kind of resolution, the kind of thinking, the kind of plan that we need to make. You know, we have to think about, that's what he wrote out, he wrote that out. And it was a plan that he was gonna follow. If we don't have a plan, we're just gonna forget. We're not gonna do things. Even though we have good intentions and we want to, but we just won't because we don't have a plan to do it. We don't remind ourselves to do it. We don't have a program to follow. We're just going with the flow. We're just letting the time go by and just hoping that we'll grow in love for God and Our Lady. We have to make a plan like that. And you know, finally, you know, when we think about our love for God and Our Lady, what is love? What is it? Is it a, you know, a warm feeling we have after saying some prayers? It is a warm feeling we have when we look at a statue or an image or picture. No, it's not those things. Those are just sentiments that can help us and help us to pray, but they're not reliable. It is love, to show a true love, a deep love, a real love, is sacrifice. 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 And that's how we show our love for our neighbor, for our family, you know, giving up things, suffering for them, helping them by sacrificing our time and our fatigue. And what we want to do, we sacrifice it for the beloved. And this is what we need to do with Our Lady, offering up some sacrifices to her, for her. And that's how we show our real love. And part of our sacrifices are, you know, changing our life, changing, you know, mortifying our will and what we want to do, and, you know, sacrificing those, mortifying our bad habits and sinful things and worldly attachments. And when we cut those things out of our life, that's a proof of love for God and Our Lady. It's a proof because we know that that's what they want. We know that's what makes God happy and Mary happy. So we make those sacrifices, but we also can make other voluntary mortifications, as many saints have done, and desired even. St. Catherine Labouré, the saint of the Miraculous Medal, she said she longed to suffer for Our Lady every day of her life. She had that continual desire to suffer for Mary because of her great love for her. St. Joseph Cafasso was a mentor to St. John Bosco, a great saint of the 1800s as well. He used to make 50 small mortifications when he was preparing for feast days in honor of Our Lady and of her month of Mary. St. Dominic Savio used to make sacrifices every day for Our Lady. And we can think of the Fatima children as well, who thought of everything they could do to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and for the conversion of sinners. So we too need to look into our little life and to presenting these intentions and these desires during Lent, which is a season of grace, a season of help and power to change our life for the love of Our Lady and for the love of our Lord. And everything we're doing is for love of Jesus, and that really transforms our mentality during Lent, instead of perhaps a negativity or deprivation of things, but is a giving out of love for God. I'm giving God a better life, a better character, better behavior, a better son or daughter. So let us do it and do our Lenten exercises in that spirit.